Okay, gather the teenagers, because we're going to talk about texting. Most states ban texting while driving, but when doing so causes a death, the penalties vary. In Connecticut, for instance, the penalty is less than if alcohol were involved. But now in Utah, you can get 15 years. Utah's law is one of the strictest in the country, and our guest today had a hand in getting it passed. He also could have been convicted under it. Reggie Shaw is now 25. When he was 19, he was texting and driving and clipped an oncoming car, which swerved and was hit by a truck. The two men inside were killed instantly. Reggie is now brutally frank about his role in their deaths, and we're going to be as frank over the next few minutes. Reggie Shaw joins us from KUER in Salt Lake City. Reggie, your story is about you and your work now talking to kids and pushing for this tough legislation in Utah. But we know you want this to be about these two men who died as well. Who were they?
They were Keith O'Dell and James Fafaro, two husbands and fathers that were headed to work.
Senior scientists designing rocket boosters, instantly dead. You didn't admit at first that you were texting. In fact, you lied.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I didn't know what happened at the time. It wasn't until I myself saw the phone records and I, you know, I saw them and I said, yeah, I did. I was texting.
A cop suspected that you'd been texting, as did a victim's advocate who happened to know one of these two men. They somehow got your phone records. Again, you still held you weren't texting, but then when you saw them, you admitted it, and you stood up at a hearing in 2008. What happened? Like, what happened in that moment when you blurted out, I did this?
I'll tell you a little about myself and the way I drove before the accident. I texted all the time when I drove. It's something that I did almost every time I got behind the wheel, and I, for whatever reason, I thought that it was okay. I didn't think that anything bad would ever happen to anyone, and it was just a habit. It was just something that I did. At the time of the accident, I, like I said, I didn't know what happened. And the hearing came around, and I saw those phone records, and I saw that I had been texting, and I sit down in court, and I remember I looked at my family on one side in the courtroom, and I looked at the other side, and there were the other two men's families, and the two men were not there with their family. And it's then that it hit me. Yes, you know, you were texting while you were driving. And what you're doing right now, prolonging this, dragging this on, is selfish. It is wrong. And, you know, that's when I came forward and I said, you know what? I was texting while driving. And it was a terrible mistake. And it's something that I'll regret for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you were 19 years old when the accident happened. These hearings are a couple of years later. You know, you're now 20, 21. Yeah, I mean, can you explain what that feels like to realize, oh, my God, I didn't pull a trigger. You know, I didn't mean to do anything, but I took two lives.
It's the most difficult thing that anybody could ever live with. And the thing that is the worst is that it's preventable. I could have shut my phone off. I could have set it to the side. I could have waited another 2 or 3 minutes until I was at work. It did not have to happen.
Yeah. Do you lay awake at night and try to roll it back? Do you ever, you know, think, you know, try to rewind it?
Every day.
Yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't regret this decision.
Yeah.
I don't wish I could go back and change what I did.
Well, instead, you're trying to change other behaviors. Now, let's start with what the law was in Utah at the time, because it differs from state to state. And in some states, you know, you can't be convicted of doing something reckless unless you knew it was reckless. Were you convicted of negligent homicide? Because that's a misdemeanor. And in order for that to have happened, the prosecution would have had to show that you knew of the dangers or should have known of the dangers of texting while driving. So in pleading guilty, did you plead guilty to two counts of negligent homicide?
Yes.
Yeah.
In sentencing, we agreed to a deal, and the deal was that I served 30 days in jail. I did 200 hours community service, talking to youth, talking at high schools, and there were some other small things involved. I had to read the book Les Miserables.
I mean, some would say that's all you got? 30 days in jail, you know, a couple hundred hours of community service and reading a book?
I get asked that all the time, and that's a difficult question for me to answer. My time in jail is, you know, it may seem like that was not a lot of time, but that was a very difficult experience for me, and a time that I sat and reflected and thought about what I had done. And you know, I was grateful for the opportunity that I got to do my community service. At the time, it was difficult. It was hard to understand. I didn't enjoy speaking publicly. I wasn't good at it. And it's something that I continue to do now, and I'll continue to do forever, because I owe it to those two families, and I owe it to society.
Well, in the meantime, another thing that you did is help change the law. Because, as you said, there was no specific texting and driving law, so people were left with the existing negligent homicide laws. You testified before lawmakers who were considering a tougher texting and driving law, and if I'm reading accounts right, they weren't paying attention. This had been tried before. It hadn't passed in Utah. In fact, a lot of the lawmakers were texting. And then you said what?
You know, I just went in. I told them what happened and explained to them that this is a serious problem, that this is as dangerous as anything that you could do behind the wheel, that a law is going to prevent families from losing their loved ones. And the people don't have to go through what I've put people through, and that I regret it every single day, and that a law is going to help prevent that.
By the way, you're a Mormon, aren't you? Practicing Mormon?
Yes, ma'am.
Family is particularly important to you, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, does that weigh on you even more, that as someone who believes so much in family, that you destroyed one, too?
Yeah, absolutely. That's extremely difficult for me to live with. I'm very close to my family. I'm very close to my father, and, you know, I think about how many times he's helped me just in the last couple of years, and how there's someone struggling that needs help from their dad, and I took that away from them. They don't have that anymore. I do, and they don't, and that is very difficult for me to live with.
Okay. We said, you know, we were going to be frank here. Let's take a break. When we come back, how that kind of passion helped pass Utah's new toughest in the country law, with Reggie Shaw, in 1 minute, here and now. We're hearing a pretty powerful tale about texting and driving, while wondering, does it get across? You might have seen the new ad campaign from AT&T. One ad shows a young woman whose sister died. The word, yeah, flashes across the screen.
This is the text from me that my sister was reading right before she flipped her car and was killed on impact.
Do ads like that become wallpaper? Can you make a difference? Reggie Shaw thinks so. 6 years ago, at 19, he was texting with his girlfriend while driving in Utah. He caused an accident that killed two men. He denied texting. Years passed, and then he was called back from a Mormon mission and in a hearing acknowledged what he'd done. And then he worked to create Utah's toughest in the country law. So let's pick up there, Reggie. You know, police had your phone records. They had proof. But people are fighting that. In Pennsylvania, police are not allowed to seize phones suspected in illegal texting. And then there's the issue of, you know, the person on the other end of the text, your girlfriend. And do they have a responsibility to come forward as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my case, it drug out. And that's something that I regret. I regret doing that to them, to their families, to my family. In any case like this, there's always going to be some responsibility where someone, for the sake of everyone, would need to come forward and say, hey, you know what, I was texting this person while they were driving.
And what about the people who would say to you, I don't think there should be texting and driving laws because that's just an invasion of privacy?
You know, I get a lot of similar questions when I speak at schools, and my best answer is just, why are we texting while driving? Why are we doing it? It doesn't matter if they can pull your record or not. It's why do you continue to do this? To be honest, I don't know. I have no idea how many people here since that law has passed have received a ticket. But I do know that it has raised a lot of awareness. The people are aware and they say, you know what, this is a law and it's a serious thing and I'm not going to do it. So to me, the law, you know, when there's instances where you can catch people and give tickets and create punishments, that's great. But the awareness side of it is what I think has the hugest impact here.
What's the law now?
A first-time offender, you're just driving down the road, you send a text message, you get pulled over, you get a ticket, that's punishable for up to a $750 fine and up to 90 days in jail. And if you're in an accident that causes a death or an injury, that goes up to 15 years in prison. It's known to be one of the more strict laws in the United States, but... you know, one thing that I've noticed about a law this strong is that it alone raises a lot of awareness. People say, you know, that is a strict law. That is harsh. Maybe this is really a problem and this is something that we need to be aware of.
Does it give you some satisfaction, you know, that you're part of helping craft this law? Or do you feel, I mean, I'm wondering if that makes you feel even more guilty. Like, geez, I had 30 days or something.
You know, that's hard. I mean, it's a hard question. To be honest, going about the jail, back to the jail thing, if I could spend the rest of my life in jail to bring back those two men's lives, I would do it. I would go sit in there every day for the rest of my life. And I can't. And I think, you know, I have tried to take this terrible situation and make the best possible scenario that I can. And helping pass that law, I look at it and you know, I do. I say, you know what? I mean, 15 years, that's what I could have had.
Well, and some might say you're imposing your own sentence on yourself. This devotion to continue talking to people, even though you're not required to by the court. How do they respond when you talk to teenagers? I mean, it's so hard. Everybody thinks... In fact, research shows that people think texting is awful when other people do it. Nobody thinks they're the one that's doing the thing that's wrong. How do they respond when you talk to them?
Well, when I talk to kids, I just try to make the point of saying, look, I was you. That was me. I grew up in a small town. I had a normal childhood, normal life, and I never thought that I would do anything that would hurt or harm myself or anyone else. And you know, I made this decision that I regret forever, and that could very easily be them. And I really try to pound that into their heads that, look, this is, it's been almost 6 years. It's difficult for me every single day, every day, and it's never going to get easier. And they need to realize that they're one text message away from that being them. A lot of times I get those kids, they come up and talk to me after, and, you know, they say thank you, which is... something that helps me a lot. When I get someone that can come to me and say, you know what, you changed the way that I drive, then, you know, it makes me think, you know what, I might have saved somebody's life today. And that helps me. That helps me cope with the terrible things that I've done.
Reggie Shaw talking to us about Utah's texting and driving law, one of the toughest in the country, a fine and up to 3 months in jail for someone just caught texting. If they cause injury or death, the punishment grows to a felony, up to a $10,000 fine, 15 years in prison. And Reggie was instrumental in getting that law passed, and he also was someone who was texting and driving and killed two people. Reggie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Did you ever go on your mission? Did you go back?
You know what? I have not been able to. It's something that I've always wanted to do. They don't let you go with something like this on your criminal record. And my record's been expunged. The church will let you go as long as it's before you're 26. I turned 26 in January. You know, it's something I've always wanted to do, and it's something that I might have to do later on in my life.
Maybe this is your mission, not for now. I know it doesn't fulfill your religious obligation, but maybe this is your mission for now.
Yeah, I hope so.
Reggie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So, your thoughts. Is the Utah law too tough? Is Reggie being too tough on himself? Would you like to applaud him? Go to hereandnow.org, facebook.com/hereandnowradio, Twitter @hereandnow or @hereandnowrobin. If you're a teen driver, did he convince you? Let us know. Latest news is next. Here and Now.